now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today, I'm going to talk about a number of issues. A lot of it will have to do with what I call attitude, the mindset that I have worked on, developed for myself. I wouldn't presume to suggest this mindset or this quote-unquote attitude to anyone else. This is what I need to do in order to stay focused and stay grounded and avoid a lot of the hysteria going on, the high emotional drama going on in the so-called truth community. So I'll talk about a number of issues. Some of it goes back a couple of months now, but just needs to be brought up. Things to do with the Canadian truckers, Putin, everyone. Things have moved on beyond possible nuclear war with Russia. About the whole Ukraine issue. And also the big emotional bloodletting. They came out with the information that Stu Peters' team and others have about the peptides that were synthesized and potentially, I'm not saying it's the case, but potentially may have been put into the stabinations, right? Because, and I'll elaborate more on this, it's not what we think or what we want to believe or what we think is possible. That's beside the point. Intelligence has always been about determining, divining, if you will, the intentions and capabilities of an enemy or a potential enemy. Intentions and capabilities. It's not what we think, what we want, what we believe, what we hope for, what we're biased against. The question is our foe capable of doing something like this? That's a key point, which gets lost amidst a lot of the emotional meltdowns, hysteria, etc., etc. You develop an order of battle of the enemy. They're ideally some kind of a table of organization, organizational structure. You try to determine what their intentions are. Well, it's clear, at least some of their intentions have to do with depopulation, the Borgification of those who survive all these so-called treatments, even to the point of the ultimate disposition of the soul, which I felt for a long time was a big part of all this. And their intentions being what they're doing, why they're doing it, right? And then, are they capable of it? Intentions and capabilities. This ties in with jurisprudence concepts and allocating guilt or innocence in a criminal case, right? Motive, means, and opportunity. Do the foes of humanity have a motive? Absolutely they do. Do they have the means to do it? That goes back to capabilities. And I'll get into more on this. I don't want to get too much into it now, but Wright Brothers got off the ground, what, 1903? Fast forward to 2022, a scant, what, 119 years thereabouts. We already take for granted the luciferase, the graphene hydroxide, the nano operating systems, etc., etc. So to suggest that the powers that be, and always remember they work through hybridized brotherhoods or hybridized bloodlines, so they can pump the information, the know-how, directly into their technicians, their hybridized technicians, biochemists, biotechnicians, etc., etc. It would be foolish to suggest that they lack the means of synthesizing peptides when it's established in the scientific medical literature that this is what they've been doing for some time now. So Motive means opportunity, means, intentions, and capabilities. Graphene hydroxide, the graphene that's atom or atoms thick, right? We're talking high tech. This is not human technology. Again, the Wright brothers got off the ground in 1903, folks. This is like 119 years later, and we're taking this stuff for granted. So if people learn to divest themselves of the high emotions, and this goes back to what I was talking about, attitude. High emotions do not, for a skilled intelligence analyst, make. It's allowing oneself to be controlled by archontic forces. So I'll talk about that. I'll go into more detail about that. Talk about the burgeoning Civil War scenario that's playing out. Now we see the lines are clearly drawn between those who want to kill babies and those who don't want their babies to be killed, right? This is a struggle for survival all across the board. And it never ceases to amaze me how some of these wannabe big shots in the truth community are just so outspoken in the belief that aliens don't exist, UFOs don't exist, no proof, yada, yada, yada. These are big names, so-called, and I'm not even going to dignify them by identifying them. I hold them beneath contempt. They have proven to the world, for those with eyes to see and the ears to hear, that they are working for the other side. So much is said about controlled opposition. That's another issue I wanted to get into today. And it's fashionable. So many of these truthers today, they've turned into fact checkers. They've turned into virtue signalers. I didn't fall for the latest hoax. I'm a perfected being, right? They're putting these kinds of updates out on Facebook and other social media. If you don't believe in something, fine. Why do you have to make a big announcement for it? Why don't you go through a drive-thru at McDonald's or something and announce it, right? Instead of ordering a Happy Meal or something. Well, I didn't fall for the latest psyop. I'm here to tell you that in this McDonald's drive-thru because I'm a perfected being. A common refrain you hear from these perfected beings is, so-and-so is controlled opposition. One guy recently on my newsfeed said that most people in the truth community are controlled opposition. Does this guy even know what controlled? Let me tell you what controlled opposition is. Let me give you a prime example of a guy who was controlled opposition and to this day is lauded as a hero and a patriot and anti-communist. That is Senator Joseph McCarthy. The guy was surrounded by Zionists. One of his cronies was a pedophile Talmudic type, Ray Cohn. McCarthy went after the people his handlers wanted him to go after. And in so doing, he reduced the whole subject to the level of absurdity. Oh, it's Joe McCarthy and his witch hunts, his anti-communist crusade, this overzealous fanatic, actually. And that was the whole idea. Reduce the subject, the very real serious subject of communist infiltration, into the American body politic and all the key institutions. To reduce the subject to the level of absurdity, so people will just say in the future, this is exactly what happened. Oh, he's another Joe McCarthy. This is McCarthyism, looking for reds under the beds. Oh, these scary communists that are taking over. And then you have TV shows, which I love, like All in the Family. And they had a socialist, commie, liberal guy there. And in real life, Rob Reiner, he's always spouting off liberal, woketard crap, right? But in All in the Family, he played Michael, the son-in-law to Archie Bunker, played by the late, great Carol O'Connor. And Michael was this hippie, socialist kind of guy. And it presents this image, once again, of a relatively harmless crank. Someone who spouts off all these left-wing socialist idioms and ideologies and catchphrases, but essentially harmless. And that's the message that they wanted to inculcate into the minds of the viewing public. On the one hand, you have fanatics like Joe McCarthy looking for non-existent communists and wrecking the government in the process because he was only going after those who stood in the way of the agenda. Okay, that's a key point to understand. He went after who his masters wanted him to go after. That list, that infamous list of communists in the State Department. Some of those were probably throwaways. People that were low-level socialists that they wanted to just kick to the curb. And others were not communists at all. There were people probably who were anti-communists that they wanted to get out of the way. You have McCarthy. And then seemingly the other end of the spectrum, you have Michael, a.k.a. Meathead, and All in the Family, who's just constantly spouting off these left-wing socialist platitudes, right? The guy looks and acts harmless, but he's not. That's the problem with these socialist libtard woketards. They're anything but harmless. They're fanatics, right? But because of McCarthyism, did not take the threat of communism seriously. There was a curious phenomena that was noted by the so-called historians. Once they were able to access the so-called Venona files, if memory serves, Senator Arlen Specter, the late and unlamented Arlen Specter, a Republican from Pennsylvania, memory serves, pedophile, he started saying publicly that the Venona file, Venona archive, should be opened. Now, what is Venona? Well, Venona was the code name for what is it was essentially an NSA operation, but had its origins with the U.S. Army's Signals Intelligence Service / Signal Security Unit, if memory serves the name. And they went through various name changes, but they're all under Army NSA type work. And during World War II, about 1944, they started making inroads into the Soviet Moscow Center ciphers, which were ciphers that were set up in a one-time cipher pad system, in theory unbreakable, but not unbreakable because in the years leading up to World War II, there were various purges that wiped out something like 27,000 plus experienced, what was the predecessor of the KGB, went through a number of name changes, as well as the GRU, basically the Red Army Military Intelligence. Moscow Center, the center, would send out enciphered telegrams to the various residenturas around the world, embassies, consulates, operating under diplomatic trade cover, very common. They were using a one-time pad cipher system, which in theory is unbreakable because they wiped out so many people in these purges in the years leading up to World War II. This level of rank amateurism had set in at key policy-making levels at the center in Moscow, Moscow Center, to the point where they didn't even believe the authenticity or the loyalty of some of the top, what later became some of the top Soviet spy rings in history, the Lucy Ring, the Red Orchestra, which was also another important spy ring, and even Ricard Sorgay, the Tokyo spy ring. These were outstanding spy rings. But because of the professional, if you want to call it that, jealousy, egos, empires, energy infestation, whatever you want to call it, Moscow Center, and this is also the case with the Cambridge spy cell, Kim Philby, Anthony Blunt, etc., John Carecross, a lot of them were held in low regard by the center. As a result of that, the level of professionalism radically dipped. And because of wartime shortages, wartime circumstances, they were not able to produce brand new one-time cipher pads, which they would then distribute to their resident insurers and spy centers all over the world. So what they did was they sent to their resident insurers previously used one-time pads, which defeats the purpose of having a one-time pad, right? So they sent out all these previously used one-time pads, and cryptanalysts like the great Meredith Gardner picked up on this, right? That, hey, they used this before, they're using it again. They were only able to decrypt fully or partially a small number. I would say there were tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of messages. They only were able to fully or partially decrypt a couple of thousand. But out of those 2,000 messages decrypted or partially decrypted, they got an eyeful, because it clearly indicated that, you know, the Soviets went through, again, different name changes. We'll just call it, for our purposes here, the KGB, the civilian KGB, and the Soviet military intelligence, GRU, that the KGB and GRU had spy operations going on all over the world. Every major Western country, Australia, Canada, certainly the U.S., and that they had penetrated to the highest levels of the Manhattan Engineering District, which the Soviet Moscow Center gave the codename Enormous. Any information related to atomic weapons development came under the codename Enormous. Well, point of relevance was, so-called historians, once they gained access to these Venona files, they were scratching their heads. Why are the Soviet spies, why is Moscow Center so interested in the Department of Agriculture, right? Now, either they were really clueless, obtuse, these so-called historians, or some were being willfully ignorant, and I believe that was the case as well. And the theories that some of these guys proffered as to why, to them it was a real head-scratcher, why are they so interested in infiltrating the American Department of Agriculture? One of the excuses they came up with was, oh, well, because the Soviet Union is largely an agrarian country, right, and really just collectivization, taking over other people's farmland. Because the Soviet Union is really such an agrarian country, of course they would have an interest in the Department of Agriculture, because then they can determine crop yields and, you know, farming techniques, yada, 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 right? Well, no. As Kissinger, who himself, in his days in the Army Counterintelligence Corps in World War II, he was already a Soviet spy by that point, right? Don't get me started there. It was just too long of a digression. But Kissinger famously or infamously said later that control oil, you control nations, control food, you control people. This was why the Soviets were so intent on infiltrating the Department of Agriculture. And look what we have now, for decades now. Some raw milk producers, these combines of organically grown food, like farmers market type commune deals. All these sheep farmers who get harassed, and then their sheep wind up getting slaughtered by the feds, because apparently they make up like mad sheep disease or whatever, when they've done that, mad cow disease, and they go ahead and wipe out all this beef cattle as a justification. Well, that's why they infiltrated the Department of Agriculture. So later, like, look what they're doing now. They're not only paying farmers to destroy their yields, their crop yields, but they're threatening them. You either accept this money and destroy your crop yields, or we're going to fine the hell out of you. We'll put you out of business, right? Well, they're already being put out of business, but now they're going to be really put out of business with all these hefty fines. And right on cue, all these food plants, food distribution centers, they're going up in flames, right? And it goes back to Soviet intelligence wanting to learn as much as they could, can, and infiltrate and eventually control the Department of Agriculture. And these so-called historians are clueless. Oh, why do they want to infiltrate, you know, the Department of Agriculture. This is why. Because down the track, they were going to pull a Ukraine-style famine, Holodomor. And it wasn't just the Ukraine. It was just all these other people throughout what became the vast Soviet Union. They were subjected to forced migrations, sent off to Siberia, into the Gulag system, dispossessed of everything they have, including their farms, animals, seeds, what have you. That's what they do. They starve people to death. That's one of the ways they get rid of people, right? But getting back to Joseph McCarthy and Michael the Meathead, and all in the family, they've created this image over time where anyone who speaks out about communism is another Joe McCarthy on the one hand. And on the other hand, they create this image of this essentially harmless lefty pinko like Michael the Meathead and all in the family. Meanwhile, these schools, long since taken over by Rockefeller, Ford Foundation, Mellon Foundation, etc., grants, so to the point where they took over the very companies that produce the textbooks for all the schools, and then they just start cramming all this cultural Marxist Soviet indoctrination into all that. All those textbooks, the curriculum, they indoctrinate all the teachers. Any whack job in California can get a teaching credential. I met some of these. Well, I took classes from some of them when I was at San Jose State. That's where I first got exposed to all this this gender bending stuff. Our teacher, our professor, I forget what it was, a sociology class or something, I can't remember. But he kept spelling women W-O-M-Y-N. I just thought it was a recurring mistake on his word processor. He keeps misspelling women. What's this all about? Finally, I asked him. And he said, because to spell it W-O-M-E-N, like woe men, was an insult to women, right? And this is early 1990s, 1991, 1990 time frame, right? So anyone, and this guy showed up to class, he looked like a derelict, basically. Just no interest in presenting a favorable appearance. He looked like he just slept in a dumpster all night. And that was a college professor in a very communist type place, San Jose, California. So by taking over the school system, taking over the companies, essentially creating the companies that produce all these books to indoctrinate the young, and now they've just really kicked it into high gear with all the child sex grooming, the pedo grooming, and the attempted normalization of all this, right? Gender-bending confusion, that's all 100% Marxist Luciferian crap. Cycles back to what I said at the outset. This is warfare, all-out warfare, and our foes are non-human. So when people blow smoke about how there's no proof about aliens, no proof about UFOs, yada, 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 and they're big names, they're constantly cited by so-called truthers, that is irksome to me. And I don't mean this in a highly emotive sense, like when people, you know, see video of Ottawa truckers, oh, that's just a big louche fest, it's just a psyop. Everything's a psyop these days, everything is controlled opposition. But it's these archontic forces working through hybridized bloodlines, directly infusing the minds of their hybrid minions in the biochem biotech field with all this information, raw, undiluted, non-filtered, it comes straight in from a nether type dimension. And there they are, not just in the biotech, biochem labs, but working on AI, working on weapons of mass destruction, et cetera, et cetera. It's all archontic. Again, the White Brothers got off the ground in 1903, right? 119 years ago, look where we're at now. And this is not the first great reset. There have been a number of resets over time. I've talked in the past about how easy it is to trigger people, how a simple comment, a status update, a post, things proffered in without guile, without any hidden motive, just put out there in complete innocence, how it can trigger this vociferous, vituperative vituperative, venomous response in so many people. It's not just millennials either. It's many, many people well into their 40s, 50s, and 60s. With all these entities running through them, all this matrix programming running through them, all this unhealed rage just bursting forth in a volcanic eruption. And with it is a lot of self-righteousness, not righteousness, which is one of the, if one wants to become a biblical scholar, for example, I mean, they really should go back and look up how many times the word righteousness comes up in the Bible, right? There's something to be said about being righteous in mind, body, word, and deed. And the difference between righteousness and self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is narcissism. It's egotism. It's self-adulation, etc., etc. And all the virtue signaling in the truth community, oh, I didn't fall for this latest psyop. As Don Rickles would have said, here's a cookie, right? All the fact-checking, so-and-so is a controlled op, so-and-so is Illuminati, blah, 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 quack, quack, quack. Two recent series of events ongoing in the case of Ukraine have brought out the worst of all these fact-checkers and virtue signalers in the so-called UFO community. And I bring it up because it's important. It goes back to what I said about attitude at the outset, about how important it is to stay grounded, to be able to look at whatever information, evidence, data points, whatever the case may be, look at it from a perspective of balance, from a perspective of not being biased in one way or another, open-minded, if you will. It's so easy to trigger these people. I'm also in these old school Facebook groups about baseball, about sports, about music, because I like things from the past. Things from the past tend to keep me grounded. It's one of the things that I do to remind me of the good old days, so to speak. And you still have a lot of people in those groups that get triggered over the most trivial things. So it's all across the board. It's not just truthers, it's sports fans, it's music fans, it's people all across the board in every demographic. And this is symptomatic of this mind control, of this genetic hybridization, this de-evolution I've been talking about in the recent past, this erosion through media brainwashing, through the Marxist Luciferian indoctrination system, to make people highly emotive. Let me give you an example with the truckers in Ottawa, right? How many people did a lot of grandstanding about that? It was absolutely pathetic to watch. Now, it should be pointed out that one does not need a crystal ball. One does not need a looking glass technology. One only needs to have an understanding of group psychology, demographics, and the likely response a given demographic will have when presented with certain stimuli, let's say, when presented with certain infringements on their rights. I'm going to draw on historical parallels to make some points, because I think the comparisons are valid and it helps to elucidate some of the points I'm trying to get across. Let's look at what happened to the Ottawa truckers. they were told they needed to get the Stab of Nations, otherwise their careers, their businesses, their livelihoods are out the window. They could no longer cross the border between America and Canada, and indeed, they would not be able to conduct their trucking businesses even within the confines of Canada, crossing from one province border to another. Now, again, one does not need looking glass technology to see how or to determine how the truckers would react. And it just shows how easy it is to manipulate people in the so-called truth movement, how easy it is to elicit a strong emotional response. These videos and these still pictures are floating around of a Simpsons episode, which had something to do, the meme had something to do with truckers going on strike or something. Now, bearing in mind that the controllers, the powers that be, plan these things decades in advance, and having an understanding of group psychology, having an understanding of what a given demographic, a given group of business people, truckers in our example, would likely do when presented with certain restrictions, life-threatening restrictions, I might add, on themselves and on their businesses and on their families, what would be the likely outcome? How would these truckers react? Keeping in mind that acting in unison, acting as a group, acting as a collective group, will have the most impact. It doesn't matter to me if there was a Simpsons episode about this, or if there are memes floating around in social media showing that this very scenario was featured in a Simpsons episode way back when. Here's why. Anyone who's been driving on the highway and has had a 18-wheeler, a big rig, pull up alongside of them, I don't know how anyone else feels, I feel slightly intimidated. One of my buddies back in high school, his girlfriend died because a top-heavy 18-wheeler tipped over on its side and crushed my friend's girlfriend's car with his girlfriend in it. Killed her, right? These things do happen. And if you're driving along, and I've did this many times in the highways and byways of Southern California, Arizona, and Nevada, and you have a big 18-wheeler come up alongside you, or you have one on your ass, that's intimidating. They take up space, right? And then you say, okay, I want to get away from this. You accelerate. You want to get away from them. Or conversely, you move out of the way and you let them pass you. And then here comes another one. They take up space. It's a key point to understand. They're intimidating. Their very presence is intimidating. It's a civilian version of a tank, of an armored personnel carrier, heavily armed, okay? So when the truckers of Canada got together and say, okay, we'll make a statement, what do we do? Well, let's all go to the country's capital, all of us, en masse, and then we'll show how much power we have. We will go there en masse, and it'll be an example of people power, and guess what? We'll take our trucks with us. Now, I don't know what these truthers expected. Oh yeah, you know what? If they really wanted to make a statement, all these truckers, they should just walk 1,000 miles to Ottawa and leave the trucks at home. Because if they take the trucks, then they're acting out the scenario in The Simpsons. So that makes it all Illuminati psyop, doesn't it? This is the way their thinking, their illogical thinking works. And then you look at the video of people along the road, frigid, freezing conditions in Canada, along the roadside, waving, cheering on the truckers, offering them food, offering them beverages, well wishes. Whether all those people in those videos lining the roads there, whether they realized it or not, they were giving a big collective finger to the Draco-reptilian overlordship. Whether they believe in aliens or not, that's beside the point. They're saying, we are the human race, we are standing up, F you. Now, consciously, they may have only intended that big collective F you to be directed at their would-be human hybrid, although they wouldn't think in those terms, human hybrid controllers, i.e. Trudeau and all the rest of the mob, right? But in actual fact, this is an example of the human race standing up and saying F you to the would-be controllers of the human race. But look at how the illogical, highly emotional, reactive way that these people think, these naysayers, these glass half-empty types. Oh, because the truckers went on strike in The Simpsons, this has got to be controlled opposition. This has got to be some kind of stunt. This is a psyop. This is a psyop. You hear that over and over again from people who don't even understand what a psyop is. They don't know what controlled opposition is because they've never actually done the research or been on the receiving end of real black ops skullduggery, like a lot of us have, right? So I guess if they wanted to be legitimate, the truckers should have just left the trucks at home and then just like walk 1,000 miles to Ottawa. Oh, wow, that's really going to make an impression. And notice how it was the truckers, the alpha males, right? It was the alphas. Now, the trucker stories I've read, because I'm into things like cryptid studies and what have you, some of these truckers, they're sleeping in their trucks, and then the whole thing starts shaking. They look out the window, and there's one or two Sasquatch shaking their trucks, okay? You know what? A lot of people out there, that happened at some remote place where they worked at, maybe a gas station or something, chances are some of them, they won't come back to work. But these truckers, they still got to deliver, they still got to haul some cargo. They still got places to go, people to see. That's their livelihood. They're not going to let one or two pissed off Sasquatch destroy their business. No, of course not. So when they're being told by their government, you have to do this, you have to take these stabinations or else, they say, F you, we're going to show you. And they're going to take their trucks with them. They're not going to they're not going to leave their trucks at home. Okay, because these are alpha males, right? And notice, please, that it wasn't hordes of office geeks, admin, IT geeks that came out en masse. What are they going to do? They're all going to show up at some place with their tablets and with their, in the old days, it would have been their pocket protectors, right, with all their different pens in it so they don't get ink on their shirts. Or their, their entry badges. Oh yeah, let's all show up en masse with their entry badges. Let's show these Illuminati types. No, the truckers did what truckers do. They took their trucks with them. It's intimidating. They take up space. And then other people began following suit. A friend of mine in Canada sent me a video of tractors through a town, a convoy of tractors. But again, the glass half empty types will say, oh, look, this is just a big louche fest. It's all a psyop. I'm not falling for it because I'm a perfected being. And my name is Buzz Lightyear. This planet is toxic. And in true glass half full fashion, we're just supposed to ignore the tremendous outpouring of emotion. Thousands of people lining the roads, cheering these people on. That's the human race standing up, collective F you to the controllers, human or otherwise. Oh, but that's never good enough, is it? It's never good enough to these perfected beings. And again, the controllers didn't need looking glass technology to know the truckers were going to do this. Look what happened in Australia and other places. Who were the ones that stood up? It was the truckers, but it was also the tradesmen, the construction workers, what they call the tradies. These are the alpha males. These are the people that build things, that fix things. They're not the office geeks. It's the alpha males who stood up initially. So having an understanding of group psychology, having an understanding of what the likely response of the truckers would be when presented with this kind of infringement and restriction on their freedom and sovereignty, they knew damn well what the trucker was going to do. I could have figured that out. But because the powers that be anticipated this happening, that somehow renders the whole effort null and void. It somehow invalidates all the good cheer, all the upliftment, all the hope, all the belief of all the people all over the world, not just in Canada, all over the world. You talk about a defeatist mentality. You talk about a loser victim mentality. That's it right there. The truckers uplifted and united people worldwide. What have all these naysayers done, these glass half empty types? It's no contest. What they are good at is destroying hope and creating mistrust, sowing confusion. So who really is the controlled opposition here? If they're not in control of their own minds, then who's in control of their minds? And like I said, most of these people, at heart, they're reductionist. They're materialist. Because they don't even realize that they're fighting a spiritual battle. That's one of the reasons why they just hate this concept of the synthesized peptides and the synthesized snake venom. Because A, it trends dangerously in the reptilian direction. And they've been having a conniption fit over the whole concept of reptilians ever since it was popularized, not started the research, but popularized by David Icke. Secondly, the fact that it is largely Christians that are putting out that information, that drives them crazy as well. Because these people, a lot of these people are reductionist and materialist. They really are lacking in a spiritual foundation. They have an agnostic perspective on what is essentially spiritual warfare manifesting in the physical plane. And just dismissing out of hand something because of a knee-jerk reaction, saying such and such isn't real, aliens aren't real, UFOs aren't real, reptilians aren't real, that's not scientific. That's a theory based on an opinion. So to dismiss out of hand the suggestion that there may be something to the idea of synthesized snake venom peptides finding their way into these stabinations, well, prove it. Prove it by ruling it out. Don't just get all emotional about it. And while you're at it, explain away how there is all these studies and all this research in the pharmaceutical industry dealing with toxins, dealing with venom. I had a discussion decades ago, I would say in the early mid-1990s with Bill Hamilton. And we got into a discussion about the injections that were used to wipe away the memories of alien abductees in my labs, in particular my labs, when it came to erasing the memories of experiences with the military and or ETs. And, you know, Bill mentioned that from what he has come to understand and what his sources were telling him, and again, Bill had developed sources in the underground bases in the Antelope Valley. And his sources confirmed Bob Lazar was legitimate, by the way. And one of the things that he learned was that
toxins from a certain shellfish were being used to wipe away people's memories. Now, that wasn't surprising to me because all real students of history, and Bill was a student of history. When you went into his home and you looked at his library and his personal book collection, he was a man after my own heart. A lot of the books that were on his shelf were the same books that were on my shelves. Because we both knew from the Church Committee investigations, Frank Church put together the Church Commission in the early, mid-1970s to bring to public consciousness a lot of the nefarious deeds of the CIA. And during the Church Committee hearings, it emerged that the CIA had been using shellfish toxins as an assassination weapon. They would put a shellfish toxin into these poison darts, and the darts would be shot into targets, people, and it would induce what seemed to be a heart attack. And there's the iconic picture of the chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence and a Reserve Air Force officer, a general actually, Barry Goldwater, who I thought would have made a fine president. They did to Barry Goldwater what they did to Ron Paul decades later. They did everything they could to prevent him from becoming a president. But you have the iconic picture and archival film of Barry Goldwater holding up the so-called assassin gun, which shot this pellet, shot a dart, again, laced with shellfish toxins, which induced symptoms which can be explained away as a heart attack. So when Bill and I had that discussion, we weren't talking about shellfish toxin in a vacuum. We were talking about it from a baseline understanding of what had already come out in the Church Committee hearings, right? And it should be noted that Barry Goldwater knew that aliens and UFOs were real. I've talked about this before, but in a private letter that was never meant for public consumption, he admitted that he'd spoken to a number of military pilots who told him that craft had flown up alongside their wingtips that were not planes and not helicopters. And he said he'd gotten so many reports from so many pilots, military pilots. And remember, Barry Goldwater was an Air Force Reserve General with a top secret clearance. He stated in that letter that he'd been told personally by so many military pilots about their close encounters with UFOs while flying that he could not discount it. From so many credible witnesses, pilots, he knew that UFOs and alien craft had to be real. And then he tried to gain access to the Blue Room at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in the Foreign Technology Division building, FTD, where alien artifacts, not bodies, but alien artifacts, technology was kept. And he was denied entrance because he did not have a need to know. Chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, a very powerful position, Air Force Reserve General with a TS clearance. No need to know. And General Curtis LeMay bawled him out, actually, for trying to gain access. Point of relevance is, now, when people bring up synthesized snake venom, shellfish toxins used as poisons, what have you, people scoff and chortle. But they're not even aware of the basics, not even aware of the Church Committee hearings, where Barry Goldwater, the aforementioned Barry Goldwater, was holding up the dart gun, which shot those darts laced with shellfish toxins. And then fast forward to the early mid-1990s, Bill Hamilton and I are discussing shellfish toxins being utilized to selectively wipe out the memories of my labs, right? So the notion that venoms or synthesized venoms has been utilized by pharmaceutical companies, by CIA Technical Services Division, Pentagon Black Ops, et cetera, that should not be new information. And anyone who scoffs at that, they're really just revealing their basic ignorance about the matter. So to say that, oh no, shellfish toxins, that's a conspiracy theory, they don't use that in poisons, or they don't use that in pharmaceuticals. Again, that's a theory based on an opinion. It's got nothing to do with facts. So this notion of synthesized peptides and the creation of synthetic snake venom, yes, I could see the surface level types go into a Wokeyard style rage, because anything that kind of trends in the direction of reptilians, saurian beings, lizard people, serpent worship, that just drives them crazy, because they're strictly surface level. And then on top of that, the fact that it's Christians that are bringing that information forward drives them even crazier, right? I don't know why, actually, but it should be an issue, but apparently it is. They've got to come up with a reasonable explanation why the pharmaceutical industry and the intelligence community have been working with various venoms for decades. There's nothing new about it. They can't explain that fact away. They can get all hysterical and emotional about it, but that's not the same as doing diligent research. Motive, means, and opportunity, intentions and capabilities. Are they capable of creating synthesized snake venom? Yes, they are. Of course they are. Capable. That's what it comes down to, right? Am I saying that absolutely, with 100% certainty, a synthesized snake venom is in these stabinations? No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is they are very capable of doing that. And from an intelligence gathering standpoint, from the standpoint of an intelligence analyst, that's how you look at things. Bereft of emotion, right? Are they capable of doing these things? Not what we think they're capable of doing, not what we hope they're capable of doing, not what we believe they're capable of doing. It's got nothing to do with preconceived biases, what we believe, what we don't want to believe. That's beside the point. People just need to just get a grip and stop being so overly emotional about. See, the problem is that a lot of these people, they want to be leaders. But one must be worthy of being followed if one wants to be a leader. And how many of these perfected beings are out there, actually? When I look at it from a military history standpoint, there were so many of these ego-driven, entity-infested narcissists that wound up being generals and admirals that just got thousands of their own troops killed in this mad quest for glory and fame and recognition and self-gratification. People need to look in the mirror and ask, what are their motivations? Why are they doing this? What are they in it for? I was at a conference one time, and Kylie and I were seated alongside this other couple, and the guy started bitching and moaning about, you know, how few views he was getting on YouTube. And Kylie and I just looked at each other. It's like, what's that got to do with anything? It's the content, the quality of the information that's important, not how many likes or how many views you get or how popular or how famous you are. People need to get their priorities in order.